turf grass quality characteristics of prairie June grass germplasm accessions, presenting of the Matthew Clark with co-author Eric Watkins. Matthew.
Good morning. Prairie June grass is a native short grass species, and it's generally found in short grass prairies and ranges in height in the literature from 30 to 60 centimeters. However, in cultivation, we actually have this species growing from a range from about 5 centimeters to over a meter tall when flowering. So it's quite a range of heights. The species is usually grazed in the early spring. It has really early spring green up, and it has a really large distribution. It's found throughout Europe, Asia, and North America. In North America, this species is found south into Canada. It's found throughout the United States, in the continental United States, pretty much everywhere except for the southeast, and then it's found north into Canada. The species is naturally found in very hot, very cold climates. It's found at a range of altitudes and a range of latitudes, so it has a really large distribution. This species is found primarily in dry and well-drained locations. It's found on slopes of hills, on certain aspects of those slopes, and in sandy soils, which has made it a very drought-tolerant species. Because of its large distribution, the species has a number of ecotypes and also a wide variety of ploidy levels, ranging from diploid to higher order ploidies. And because of its distribution and these ecotypes, there's a lot of different phenotypes associated with the species. And as a result, there's a lot of synonyms in the literature and some confusion about that. Today, the literature suggests that Calaria macrantha is the appropriate binomial. There have been a couple of cultivars released. ELO was one of the first released from an Estonian research group in the 1990s, followed by Barlaria and Barkol. Barkol you might know as turtle turf, as it's marketed that way here in the United States. These three were all developed from European germplasm. However, our breeding program is looking at using native germplasm as a native species as opposed to the European species. There is unimproved germplasm available in the market. You can find it for native plant restoration as ornamentals, but it's expensive and it's not well available in most markets. And some early research in the 2000s by Mantinko et al. Saw that the undeveloped native germplasm actually performed better in terms of spring greenup than the improved variety Barkol. And this was the impetus for our research in choosing this species. We believe that this native germplasm can provide other traits in addition to early spring greenup compared to the European cultivars. We're exploring utilizing the species as a low-input turf. That probably means something, that term low-input means something different to everyone in this room. Fundamentally, it means having lower inputs in terms of fertilizer, water, time, in terms of management. And these sites are places like schools, cemeteries, roadways, parks, where there's different visual and performance expectations. And these are developed by the stakeholders as well as the turf grass manager. As you can see, the picture on the right is from a previous trial looking at some low input turfs. As you can see, some are more green and some are more gray. And maybe what's adequate is up to the person's actually using those spaces. Some traits for low input turf include being drought tolerant or avoidance, because many low input situations have little or no irrigation provided. These species would be slow growing or short plants because we want to limit the amount of mowing that's done on them. And because of this, there's a lot of environmental benefits for doing low input turf, reducing costs associated with this as well by not using as much fuel, by not using fertilizer. There's a lot of benefits to the environment. The reason we chose native plants is because we believe that native plants are adapted to the local environment better and perform better in these low input situations. We had two main research objectives. We first wanted to examine the genetic potential of the prairie June grass accessions available by the USDA NPGS. And specifically, we wanted to look at the turf grass characters of those plants. And then secondly, we wanted to identify key regions for germplasm collection to add to our breeding program. And with that, we developed several hypotheses, two of which are here. The first is that there would be significant variation in the germplasm for turf quality traits based on the fact that we have such a wide distribution for the species and that there'll be a number of different ecotypes and phenotypes within that. Our second hypothesis was that the North American accessions would perform better for turf quality traits due to that native adaptation. The layout for this experiment was a randomized complete block design. We had two locations, St. Paul, Minnesota and Becker, Minnesota. We chose the Becker, Minnesota location for its sandy soil, which the literature suggests is the preferred soil for this species and for the drought, examining some of the drought tolerance. We had five reps at both locations, and we utilized four genotypes from each accession in each of those reps. We utilized 48 accessions that were available at the time of this study from NPGS. The seed was germinated in the greenhouse in early spring 2007, and these were planted in the field in late June 2007. As you can see in the picture, this is an example of the layout look like. The rectangle is showing the four genotypes that are from a single accession. These are planted on 1 foot centers, and we evaluated them from 2007 through 2009. There was no irrigation following establishment, so we ceased irrigation about the first week in August of 2007. And then at that point, the plants were mowed to 2.5 inches weekly. No fertility was applied, and we did do some weed control. We used a pre-emergent herbicide, and we also did manual weeding. Because these are space plants, we had a lot of weed pressure, especially in the sandy soil at Becker. We evaluated a number of traits. We followed the NTAP guidelines for looking at things like turf quality, density, and color. We also looked at mowing quality. Early on, we noticed a lot of leaf tip shredding, which is shown in the lower picture on the right. And we also were looking at the lateral spread, or the diameter of each of the space plants at the end of the study. Early on, we also identified some unique growth habits. There was a prostrate phenotype that we saw for some of the accessions, and so we evaluated whether these plants were more upright growth, like a typical bunch grass, or had this more prostrate growth that was creeping along the soil surface. The literature also suggested that there might be rhizomes or stolons, so we were looking for those traits within the germplasm. We identified a lot of disease pressure, specifically rust. So we took notes on that. Also, there were changes in fall color. And we also wanted to look at flowering as the presence of flowering culms after mowing and the persistence of the straw throughout the growing season after mowing. So looking at some of our results, this is analysis of variance, looking at some of the turf quality traits. As you can see, the location had a significant effect for all of these traits. I just want to point out that the 2008-2009 turf quality was averaged, and we kept out 2007. That was mostly our year for establishment, and we have a lot fewer data points. Because the location had such a significant effect, we looked at both sites separately for further analysis. This table, I'll just set it up for you real quick. We're looking at turf quality and mowing quality for both locations. We took the 48 accessions and we grouped them by origin and got to 20 different origins. Most of these are countries, there's a few states, and then there's also regions within countries. Looking at these 20, and then they're ranked by the pooled data from both locations. I've highlighted the top 14, the ones in red, these are the top performers at both locations. And there were 14 that actually had a turf quality performance of 5.0 on the NTAP scale, which means they have an adequate turf quality. At Becker, we had six accessions that had that quality of a turf performance. Looking at the same table, I highlighted the first accession, Ireland. This accession performed the best at both locations in terms of turf quality and mowing quality. This accession appears to be different than the other accessions. It appears to be tetraploid, has a very distinct phenotype, where we believe that the other accessions are actually diploid. The accessions highlighted in red at the bottom are the North American accessions. We have accessions from Iowa, Canada, and New Mexico. And as you can see, they actually have the lowest performance in terms of turf quality and mowing quality, which is contrary to our original hypothesis. So some basic conclusions. There was significant variation, as we expected, for turf quality traits among those accessions. We did see a lot of susceptibility to rust. In a concurrent study, we have a lot of Minnesota germplasm available to us, and we're looking at disease pressure there, and it appears that there's a lot less disease, suggesting that there's a local resistance to the rust that's in these locations. Additionally, we did use the same germplasm for looking at seed production components, and the best performer there was a native accession from Iowa. This leads us to believe that we need to be combining some of these traits for seed yield as well as turf quality, utilizing the European and the native germplasm to develop a economically viable cultivar. Further conclusions, we identified that this species does have some of those low input traits. 11 of the accessions have the prostrate growth and creep along the ground, and this is a picture kind of showing what that looks like. This is the first season, but this just continues to spread as the years have gone on. Several of these are very slow growing. They've actually never been mowed at the 2.5-inch mowing height, which could be really useful in terms of no-mow and low-mow situations. Because of this, we can certainly reduce the amount of mowing that goes into these systems. And like I said, the species seems to provide adequate turf quality performance. Some ideas for further research: we want to evaluate turf plots utilizing this germplasm. This photo is showing germplasm that we took from our seed production trials, and each of these turf plots represents a different accession, so we actually have these planted and are evaluating them at this time. We want to examine rust and other pathogens because rust was so prevalent in our trials. We also want to look at drought and salt tolerance, as the species would certainly be useful along roadways, and want to see how performance would be in those conditions. And then further, we want to look at determining the ploidy levels of these accessions so we can develop breeding methods that would not run against some of the barriers of different ploidy levels in the germplasm. And with that, just thanks to those listed, and I'm willing to take any questions that you might have.
We have time, a couple minutes for questions.
Here in front.
Did you find a wide variability in the timing of when the flowering occurred between the European accessions and the American accessions?
So the question is, did we see variability in the time for flowering between the European and native accessions? And that was a different study. There was some timing differences in terms of when flowering commenced and ended. The duration of flowering was different, and I couldn't tell you off the top of my head what those look like, but there certainly was a difference. The question that might be getting at is how well could you cross those in a polycross. That's certainly going to be a challenge, so it might be required getting plants vernalized in a greenhouse or at different conditions to get them flowering and to ensure pollination. Question in the back?
How did you rate density when you had single plants?
That's a great question. It is, how do we rate density on single plants? As a visual rating, it was pretty clear, I think, for me to see what the density looked like. These plants, many of the natives, North American, were very not dense. So compared to a turf plot, I think is the question. I just developed a scale and kept that consistent, I guess, throughout the entire term of the study. There's a question here.
How would this species do in an unmowed situation, like a naturalized area or a golf course?
Okay, great. So the question is, how would this species do in an unmowed location? That's a great question. I haven't trialed that at all. I think it would be a choice of selection of the ecotype or the phenotype that you're looking at. If you're looking for a taller plant, reaching up to a meter when it's flowering, that's possible. If you were sticking to some of the shorter plants, that might also be possible. I think my gut response is you might want to be mowing these after flowering to remove the seed heads, or throughout flowering just to encourage them to stay vegetative, because there's a lot of death after flowering. The tillers die out.
Questions? Okay, thank you.